Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're having a great week. Looking forward to a great weekend. Today is an ALN classic episode. That's right, we're throwing it back to the old days of the podcast. We had some bangers, some hitters, some legends come through the show, so we thought we'd dig deep and throw it back to some of those insane, hilarious, fun episodes. So enjoy the hell out of this episode. Of course, follow the podcast at ALN Podcast on Instagram and Twitter, at Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Enjoy the episode. Enjoy your week. Oh. Were there people you guys reached out to for the soup that did respond or didn't that surprised you to be on?
There are some that way back when I was just like, man, just see if Taylor Swift will come on. Mm-hmm. Almost with all those, when we ask some crazy big name just to see if it would happen, it's been zero. But with Taylor Swift, as we had been kind of making fun of all her songs, about how she's had horrible relationships and she was 19 at that point. But her people said she can't come on, as if she had ever been planning. But they were like, but we would like to offer tickets to your staff to come see her at the Staples Center. And I was like, geez, she did not have to do that.
Wow.
And now she will be forever in the positive column in my life. But other people obviously way less people never even respond.
She could have gone the alternate route. She could have been like, fuck you and fuck KP.
Or just never, they wouldn't know our names. They would just never respond.
Maybe she did the research.
No, zero response is usually how it goes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Are there any celebrities, and now, especially that you're doing the show, the Joel McHale show, starring?
With
Joel McHale.
With Joel McHale.
Anthony Michael Hall.
Okay. I was hoping I got that right. Right. Are there any celebrities that are off limits for you?
Well, no. Some of them are jailed.
Sure.
But
Robert Blake, not a fan.
I don't think there's a world where the Kardashians will get permission to come on the show.
They won't. Have you asked?
We should.
Because
they're part of the old show, old network I was on, so I don't think they're going to be big fans of that.
That'd be great, though.
It would be great.
It would be great if one of them just broke away the same way that...
rogue Kardashian?
You could get Rob. Let's face it. You could get Rob.
Hey, if Rob wants to come on, is he listening?
Sure.
How many listeners do you have besides
more
than
the Kardashian
your
family.
Immediate
family?
Four Kardashians. Four out of
four
the 27.
Four Kardashians is worth like 60,000 people.
Yeah. The babies probably have a big Instagram following so far. What do you think about celebrities naming their babies really crazy names?
I think it's crazy. I think that forever, when you grew up with kids in your school that they had the hippie name.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that's... I know a guy, he's my age. And when I met him years ago, I was like, I'm Joel. And he was like, I'm Arrow. And I went, what? And he goes, hippie parents. And he just quit. And I was like, oh, okay.
Well, cool. And Rainn Wilson had hippie parents, right?
Yeah.
He must have, right?
Yes.
But Rain seems pretty reasonable.
Adjusted.
After you've been here for many years. Like, yeah, people are called Rain.
Yeah.
It seems like that actually probably is a name.
Because I know two Rains. Rainn Wilson and Rainn Pryor. So there's two Rains. Mm. So that's, but yeah, Arrow.
I know Rain. Well, a girl I went to high school with did porn for a little bit, and her name her name was Rain from Seattle.
That was her given name.
No, her name is, her real name is Emily. And I don't think,
there we go.
I don't think.
See, that doesn't
count. You
can't
go with porn names. You're like,
no, we're going
really?
With people that were named hippie names.
Okay.
And not porn names.
I did think it was funny that she chose Rain and she's from Seattle. Like, that had to play into it, right?
It seems like
she's like weather-oriented. It's hot.
Well, see, it's great. Better than, I don't know, Moss?
Or like being from Phoenix and your name being
Salmon?
Dry?
Paul Allen?
Salmon would be a terrible name for... Yeah, Paul Allen as a porn name?
Yeah. I just saw Paul Allen, by the way, at the Blazers game. And I saw him sitting sideline texting. And I look at my dad, I go, what do you think he's texting right now? Like, what do you think that guy...
And then your dad was like, did you hear your mom and I are getting back together? Probably talking about that. He's probably texting your mom.
That's he was texting Paul Allen.
Callbacks that make you cry.
See? Callbacks that still hurt. Did the Blazers win?
Last week, the Blazers-Rockets game. I was up there, and my dad lives in Oregon, so...
You like the new uniforms? All red?
I like basketball in the Northwest.
That's a real political answer.
I don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
You hear that, Oregon?
You hear that, Paul Allen and Rob Kardashian, two of our top
Adam
listeners?
Hates your uniforms.
How I just watched the video of you raising the 12th man flag, and that is a personal goal of mine. And I'm sure Brad.
Well, that was the, that was during the ESPYs.
Was it really?
No. Wow. No. That's another callback.
What's a bigger What's a bigger highlight? Meeting Tony Ventrella while doing that, because I grew up on Tony Ventrella. I grew up on Steve Poole. I grew up on you.
Yeah, we grew up a relative. You're much younger than me, but
You would not tell by looking side by side.
That's true.
Yeah, you look great. You look fantastic.
I don't know if it's Neutrogena.
It's Neutrogena. Nugenics. Speaking of Nugenics,
are you going to be that old guy with the 12 pack?
I'm going to be the weird guy at the gym.
People love that guy.
With the old head.
That guy inspires the old head.
Well, you know, the old head, but then they got that HGH body that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
That can't last for very long.
No, and then
that's
they,
a 6 month.
And then, and then they show videos of like the 85-year-old guy with 12-pack abs, like smashing multiple boards, doing karate. I'm like, I don't know if I want my old people doing
that. He's like 90s, the new 80. You're like, oh, boy.
It's like 90s, the new 50.
Yeah.
Because HGH will reverse it for a while. Mm-hmm. And then I think then you turn into a gargoyle and you flap away.
Where did you grow up again? Mercer Island.
Mercer Island, Washington. For the thousands?
Hundreds of thousands.
Listening to this.
Fuck yeah, baby.
Emily?
Katie.
Is that true? Yeah. I mean, I don't think you can see Katie's face. She just did this.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, whatever you want. Mercer Island, Washington, which a lot of people go,
nice part
was it fun growing up on an island? And I was like, yes, but the longest highway in the world, excuse me, in America, goes right through it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like it was a quaint town.
It's a nice part of the town, though. There's, I mean.
Yeah, it's very affluent now. Yeah. Thank you. My parents did well. No, my parents bought their home for $100,000.
Shut the fuck up.
Last year from a drug dealer. He was like, hold this while I'm in prison.
Hollywood connections.
Back in 1980.
Wow, that was a smart move.
Well, it wasn't like they thought.
Gotcha.
It
was not what it is now.
Their friends lived there, and they're like, we could live there. I mean, they could have lived in Bellevue or some other.
Everett.
Suburb, Kirkland, Juanita.
Yeah.
But it was, the houses were cheap.
Did you like growing up there?
Yeah, it was great. I loved it.
Where'd you go to high school?
Mercer Island High School.
My step-uncle wasn't a security guard when you were there, was he?
Rod? Yes, he was. Rod. Yeah, Rod was great. He's the one that broke the news to me about your parents.
We
had no security guard when I was there.
Gotcha. Wow.
Isn't that
crazy?
We patrolled ourselves.
That is crazy, actually. I mean, was there just no...
No, and I remember going back. Oh, yeah, there was fights, but then I remember going back and going like, what's this guy in uniform? What happened? And they're like, what are you talking about? It's Rod the security guard. Adam Ray's step uncle. And I was like, it was the era before that. Fights would break out, but I don't know.
Kids would just resolve them.
Everyone would step in. Whether you were a janitor or the principal or a music teacher.
Kids were the refs. It was like street ball.
No, they would be like, cut this out, unless they had money on them.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then you...
Did you get in the fights?
Yeah.
The last... I never
Nobody
had...
Nobody fights a tall guy, right?
Oh, I think that...
Oh, happens. I do it all the time.
See? Everybody.
Bad example.
Just for being tall.
I get it. Yeah. I would be pissed.
Yeah right? Take out some knees.
Well, they're not expecting it.
Exactly.
I think the last time I took a swing at someone... I mean, other than my family.
Sure. Or KP Anderson.
Or KP, which is daily. I think in eighth grade I had a fight with Dave Martine.
You never forget.
But then I had a fight in college.
Yeah.
Strangely, I skipped high school.
University of Washington.
But that was on the football field. So.
Oh, shit.
There was
with a teammate?
And then I guess I was very rough with this during basketball practice on the on the high school team, where I swept through and made sure my elbow connected with somebody's jaw. So, and that was the end of the fight.
So you were the...
It wasn't really a fight. It was just kind of this guy's really bothering me, and now I'm going to sweep my hand through. And
you were the Bill Lambeer of your team.
I would take that as a compliment. Yeah, no, I was the guy they would throw in to go, like, they would, the coach wouldn't say it, but he would be like, get him. And he wouldn't have me injure them on purpose, but he would be, you go in there and do the thing that you do with your spaz and throw yourself around. And yeah, it wasn't nice.
Now you,
I'm not proud of it.
You play.
Let's get him on the phone, Dave Martin.
Dave Martin.
With him?
My dad has coffee with his dad a couple times a
that's adorable
a week on Mercer Island. It's a very close knit.
Just
he lives in Seattle, I hear, and he looks
just to like see how he's doing.
I think he works for Nordstrom.
Wow.
I mean, are you ever gonna go there and shop at Nordstrom just to like be like, hey?
I don't think, you know, he's in the corporate office, so
okay,
he's not there. No, he's no. We, you know, it's one of those things when you're young, you kind of resolve that stuff and then you become better friends.
Yeah.
Like on the new show, the Joel McHale Show with Joel McHale, streaming right now on Netflix.
Yeah.
New episodes every 12:05 a.m.
This guy that played
Mankini on The Soup, who is now One Piece Man.
Yes.
He is one of my best friends from grade school, from Catholic school, from fifth grade. And we had a fight in sixth or seventh grade. And, but now we were thick as thieves after that for years.
Is that the man who Paul Feig put his head in between his butt cheeks?
Yes.
You've and got Paul one said, of the most.
I'm gonna go boil my face.
You have one of the most decorated comedy directors putting his head between a man's butt cheeks.
Yeah.
Are you proud of that, Joel McHale?
We try to find things to
try to find butt cheeks to put Paul's face into.
We'll be like, hey, there's an award-winning, more celebrated comedy directors of the last 10 years. Why don't we have? With last week, he was looking at our vintage rotoscopes as opposed to the new ones.
Sure.
He was into erotica on rotoscopes. He's like, this one, you can see her skirt, and it shows her ankle. Hubba hubba.
That was a great bit.
He's very funny.
Do people know that he came to you and KP, yeah?
Yes.
To bring the show back.
I don't know if people know it, and they probably won't know it after this podcast, but...
Rob Kardashian will.
Rob is picking up his car keys and gathering his sunglasses so we can drive down to...
Yeah, and one of Adam's parents will know.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You know what? This is hopefully this is like a rule of Beetlejuice, where if you joke about it enough, it actually happens.
I think we've passed the three.
So it's not happening.
Parents should be showing. They should be appearing. Is that your mom?
No.
Way too young.
That is my wife.
Oh, hi. We're doing a Beetlejuice bit about how his parents might be getting back together. We talk about it enough. And I said, they need to appear. And
isn't
then
comedy
you
fun?
Walk in.
Yes. So that wasn't a you look old, honey.
No, that was Adam Ray's mom is younger than him.
Don't talk that way about Puddin'.
My mom's name is Puddin'.
Your mom's name is Puddin'?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She a boxer?
Yes, an old. She fights in the Jewish Community League.
Oh,
in Edmonds, Washington.
It's not physical fights. It's just a fight of who can complain more.
Yeah,
I feel like that's a stereotype and it's anti-Semitic.
It is. Yeah, I stand by it. Yeah,
fuck you, Brad. You got to get bar mitzvah just to prove that you're not.
Yeah. Were you bar mitzvah?
No. I was
like
not.
You had to think about it.
Well, because there were several
definitely
there were several dwarf ceremonies that you might think were bar mitzvahs.
Like,
I mean, there's the tree ceremony.
What?
You don't know about this?
Clearly, I don't.
You don't know about the famous tree ceremony?
No. Do you know about the famous tree ceremony?
I mean, I've heard rumors.
Every dwarf has a tree, of course. Right?
Was this part of your vows? Was this in the wedding?
Well, but but. In case of the divorce, I do get the tree. It's by law. She cannot touch the tree.
That's funny.
Yeah.
What's the tree ceremony?
Let me tell you as I make it up. The tree ceremony is when a young dwarf lad comes of age, and now he has the power to grant wishes.
How old is a dwarf
13,
lad?
Right?
No, 6, because the ages are doubled in dwarf years.
Oh. That makes sense.
Yes, because, we don't live as long. It's kind of sad.
Really?
Yeah, I'm 34, which means, how long does this podcast last?
Jesus, I don't know.
So your wife gets the money.
Yeah, exactly, but not the tree.
Okay.
Yeah.
The tree's in your name.
Yeah.
The tree will be
that
buried. You'll be buried with it, in it?
I'm buried in the tree.
Or they tie your body to the tree and burn it?
And they set the tree on fire.
Viking funeral style.
Okay.
Yeah.
That means your wife will have to jump on top of it.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Maybe she can build a house in the trees, Swiss Family Robinson style.
I mean, that's kind
while
of the goal.
While it's burning.
That way I kind of live forever.
Mm.
In hearts and minds.
Do dwarves really not live as long?
Yeah, I'm going to go another 5 years.
So, Joel, when Paul came to you and said, here's what I want to
no,
do.
No, we're fine, Joel.
You'll live a very long time.
Yeah, very.
He's going to outlive all of us.
Very long time.
When yeah. Paul
he knows
Feig
the secret to longevity.
Said,
yeah.
When Paul, so
cast a spell on myself.
Was
I'm
he
good.
Bar mitzvah? Paul, he said no, because he's not Jewish.
Wait. So did you know Paul prior to all this?
Yes.
Yeah. Through just
from him being a fan of the show.
Crazy.
And mm-hmm. then him at he would tweet about the show, and I'm like, Paul Feig's tweeting about the show. So then we asked him to come on years ago.
Yeah.
So then he kind of was a mascot. In a weird way, because except that he was just a world famous director of
yeah.
very successful movies.
Sure.
And then
would he hint at when he would come to the show, be like, "Man, I love it. I hope this never." It. Like, would he say?
Yeah,
about-
he would say how much he likes the show, and he'd be like, hey, "It's Paul Feig. This is great."
Yeah.
And we didn't. Then when the show stopped, then 2 years later, Paul was out walking his dog in a 3-piece suit, so he was casual.
His dog was only wearing a vest, underdressed.
Yes.
Vastly underdressed.
Paul's spats were white as could be. And then he ran into KP and they started talking about it. KP and I had thrown it around, like, what do you think? What do you want
to
do?
Right, because, like, why would you not want to? To me, it seems like the most fun job of all time.
Mm.
And
it's very fun.
Yeah.
It really is. But then.
But when it ends, do you almost, is there a feeling too of like, all right, well, things are just, everything ends at some point, so that should, we should just like let that go? Or like, how many days after are you like, fuck, we should figure out a way to keep doing it?
That was off my mind for like a year.
Okay.
I didn't think, I kind of was thought, I'll do it at some point, but mm-hmm. I didn't know when that was.
Yeah.
And then the CBS show started.
Yeah.
So that took up a lot of time and I was doing other things and then. But I was always like, I should probably try and do that because I liked doing it very much and I liked
sure.
the people. And then, I can't believe how lucky I am that Netflix was like, fine, we'll give you a shot. And so that worked out great. And so that, we didn't really have a time frame.
Gotcha.
But then it, the CBS show was canceled. And so it worked out great.
Thanks for bringing that up, Adam.
Yeah.
Was there any...
I brought up the CBS show.
Okay.
And just like he brought up his parents' divorce.
Was there any hesitation at all when KP calls you and says, hey, Paul Feig wants to do the show? Was there any part of your brain that was like...
No.
No.
No, no. But we had been chatting about it. But Paul mm-hmm. really was like, we need to do this now. And...
it's a good Paul.
We're like,
I
yeah,
it would be,
very, yeah, yeah, it would be great.
I will put my baby in the butt cheeks. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I'm a deviant. you said that in the show last week.
It's almost a Jeff Goldblum.
It's very similar.
It's close.
We then started putting the pitches together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we didn't pitch to any networks. So it was just all streaming. I guess we pitched to, there was a couple of news companies that wanted to hear it.
Really?
And we thought that was interesting, but
yeah.
We kind of thought it might probably not fit, but it wasn't like we weren't going to not tell them.
Yeah. I mean,
well, because you could be edgy on E, but Netflix, I mean, being able to curse and kind of like do,
yeah.
Is there an extra level of like looseness?
There's no rules.
That's amazing.
We were going to call, one of the names of the show was Joel McHale's Weekly Dump. Which they were kind of like, can we call it something else that's not a shit?
And now that's a bit in
and
the
show.
And
now it's a bit in the show because Paul loved that bit. And every time you said Joel McHale's Weekly Dump, he would burst out laughing. So he'd be in the he'd be like, I just love that sort of humor. And I would like to do it more.
Yeah.
But it that, yeah, so that was the working title. And then there was a few other, they were like, can we just move away from scatological things.
How involved are you with the research of the shows and stuff? Do people, yeah, obviously have a team that is watching everything.
They're watching right now, and I'm not mm-hmm. doing my job.
But
so
are they presenting you stuff? Or like,
we will
pick?
Have a, the second I leave here, I will zip over there and we will have a clip meeting. And
that's
we will,
awesome.
Yeah, well, it's gather. We're trying to gather things. I mean, it's difficult because everything gets viewed, but we're trying to gather things that aren't as viewed, and then we gather
things.
You
do it brilliantly. Everything I see, I'm like, even if I've seen that show, there's certain moments that you just, like, miss. Like,
yeah.
You're good at, like, finding, you know, not just getting the really popular, like, everybody saw this, but, like, what about that moment that happened maybe 5 minutes after that?
The Japanese movie called Tag.
No, like...
Where everyone was decapitated.
I mean, you say that, but your staff found a Japanese show of people thinking that they're going to die by the bottom of an elevator falling out, which is just insane that exists.
There's another clip from that show that went very viral. Mm-hmm. That one was, and that was strangely, they only were doing it to women, making them think that they were going to die in an elevator.
And then putting the guy in a box put the guy in the corner laughing. Going,
hee, 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 hee. It is funny. But this other one was more elaborate, where a guy went in for a job interview, and there's a group of guys interviewing him, and then just sniper bullets start coming in, and everybody gets shot, and he drops to the ground, and he's trying to make it to the exit, but shots are still coming in, and then people are trying to help him. They start firing back. They get shot, and he is crying. He is crying and screaming and weeping and believing he's going to die. And there's his wife in the corner just cackling away. And so we didn't show that because it had made headlines.
Sure, because you don't want to use the clips that are already
viral. We don't want to use old, unless we find something old that nobody has seen,
right.
Then we'll show it. But for the most part, we want to find stuff that's happening now. And that's why we go into things like South African soap operas, and we're showing a Argentinian talk show this week.
Finally,
I know you're always like, "What's going to happen?" And that's one where a woman is swinging a vacuum around in circles and hits a guy, and she falls over during the chat time, which is really it warmed my heart.
You see these clips, and it's a brilliant move too to incorporate that in the show because Netflix is so international.
Yeah,
it's right. Well, that was probably
we want to expand the audience,
but also. When I see these clips, I'm like, how is that not already so famous? Like, that clip you just explained, like...
I think it's because there's so much out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's so much that we... to choose from, especially in foreign languages that nobody knows. And who would have thought in Afrikaan language, kids are called cunts. And they say it all the time on that television show, and... it's bonkers.
And that's a joke that you couldn't do on E that now you can do on Netflix.
You absolutely. Yeah. And it's I'm sure the people when they're watching, if they're watching in South Africa, they're like, what's the big problem? I got four cuts. And I don't know. So we don't know yet whether like if we show a couple of Japanese game shows, whether Japan's going like, well, we're all on board now. Let's watch this Joel McHale
Weekly,
show.
Yes.
We don't know. We like to think but we're kind of just throwing the net wide and hopefully people, we know it does well in the English speaking countries, which makes sense because the humor is very, specific to America and, you know, culture like that. Australian culture.
When you go back to the office right now, how many, clips or shows will they present you with that you'll kind of Minority Report style, like be like that one, like,
yeah. And then there's a pool with three bald women in it. Telling us,
God, Netflix has so much money.
Where the next clip is coming from?
That bald head.
And then I'll be leaning in, and then she'll grab me. Yeah. And I'm like, I gotta get her out of here. Hide behind the balloons in the mall. And
you remember that movie really well?
Yeah, that's why. Why?
Because the bald woman told him to remember it.
Yeah.
What was her name?
Oh, jeez.
Rain.
Abigail.
No, she was also in The Sweet and Lowdown with the Woody Allen movie.
Jesus.
With
if only we had devices in our pockets.
Yes, if only they were right there. Well, Sean Penn was a great movie.
Yes,
Emily Mortimer. Mortimer.
She was all she was.
But then in that movie was what's his name? Who I can never remember his name. The Irish actor, the lead,
Colin Farrell.
Yes, I never can remember his name. But I don't know why.
You want to say Firth?
But then he got clean and
sober.
Yes, and. Yeah, anyway, that's my story.
People have to say the
Colin
clean
Firth,
though.
How about that crazy story from last week?
What?
What was that one?
So they were being stalked, or they accused someone of stalking them, but she had had, his wife had had an affair with the stalker.
Shut up! But Colin Firth is getting cheated on?
Yeah, but then then Colin Firth was like, yeah, this happened in the past, but now this guy is bothering us. And then the guy bothering them was like, I'm not a stalker. I sent her a text message, and it sounds very horrifying.
No.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not a stalker at all. And he was like, we were texting each other.
And I was like, so he's almost saying he's stalking because it's almost denying that an affair is still going on.
Well, I think the affair was over, but he's going like
he's a different guy.
Yeah,
no, it's the same guy. Oh. But he said if you he is now pissed that he's like my behavior was not that of a stalker.
Wow, and you just don't see that happen. You just don't imagine that happening to a guy like Colin Firth.
No,
maybe it's the accent. I don't know. Maybe
a lot of people have that accent.
You're probably right.
And like an entire country worth.
An entire country has that accent?
Well, I would say that Great Britain, even though there's a lot of dialects.
Brad, you got to get outside the tree more often.
I'm going to agree to disagree, Joel.
That, no. I mean, that's not an argument. I'm right.
That's fact.
You're wrong. A lot of people in Great Britain have British accents.
You know what? What they mean by the Hollywood bubble. You just don't get out. You don't know things.
We're telling you.
Yeah,
now.
You're not
in
the bubble.
I feel I'm the voice of real America, Joel. And I think
does not believe other people than Colin Firth have British accents.
I think that
what a great place to live in your mind.
I think that
maybe
you just
Jason
this,
Statham, and that's it.
You're just this Hollywood elite where you live in your own world. I get it.
So now you flipped it because we thought you were talking about yourself. Not realizing there was more than one person with a British accent.
I'm going to show you Mary Poppins tonight and blow your mind.
Is that your housekeeper?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I'm going to yes and that bit.
There you go.
It's very expensive.
That's right. With a lady and the Sound of Music.
Speaking of improv, Joel McHale.
I think we've got Katie is letting us know that we have to take a commercial break right now. This break brought to you by the Seattle Mariners.
Nice.
Get your season tickets now.
Get your season tickets now.
Spring is here.
Please come to the game. Ichiro's back.
Ichiro's back.
That should just be the slogan.
Yeah. Ichiro's back and as good as he was when he started.
Yeah, I mean,
Japanese men don't age.
Yeah. Well, if you watch him, I mean, you watched it.
Yeah.
He stretches endlessly.
Yes.
That's why I think he actually could probably play for another decade.
Yes. He's going to have to play a majority of the season, too, because...
Ichiro's back is a lot better than their original slogan, which was the Seattle Mariners. Somebody's got to lose to the Angels. Right?
Well, unless it's the early 2000s where the Angels lost every game to us.
Yeah.
Yes, but then when did the Angels win the... Are you an Anaheim fan or a Los Angeles fan?
I was born and raised in Orange County, so I'm an Angels fan. And then my dad listened to Vin Scully on the radio almost every day, so I'm also a Dodger fan.
He was an extra in Angels in the outfield.
No, are you a
Christopher Lloyd touchdown?
The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim fan?
Oh, I'm
which
a
is great question.
The I'm, dumbest name of all time.
Yeah, it's the stupidest.
Absolutely.
That really brought in the Los Angeles fans,
yeah,
right?
They just went there in droves from Echo Park. It's the dumbest thing ever when you're watching a game and the score's in the upper left-hand corner and the abbreviation for the Angels is just LA, like L-A-A. That's bad.
It's bad. Does the owner still think it's a brilliant move?
I hope not. But yeah, I was a California Angels fan.
What was wrong with that?
Nothing. And then they wanted to have Los Angeles people.
It just, the more vague you make teams,
mm-hmm.
the less I think people want to pay attention.
I mean, they wanted to call it Earth's Angels, but that was already covered in a song.
You should fire yourself. You should go put yourself in comedy jail around the corner for a bit. Earth's Angels. This is your comedy partner. You married this guy.
You're the one always saying you got to get married, Joel.
What? Yes, yeah. But that doesn't mean that after a joke like that, they can't rethink everything. Earth's Angels.
I stand by that.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
I thought it was good.
Oof.
I will die on this hill.
Does anyone think that was good? Oh, your wife loves you.
I know.
Tonight she'll be like, don't worry, that was a great joke. Everyone loved it. And when the 35 people who hear this podcast agree with what you think.
Do you consult your wife for comedy advice or anyone in your family?
You've told
me stories of your kids saying really funny shit.
When I get one-off gigs or corporate gigs, I hire they're the two head writers of the Joel McHale Show with Joel McHale on Netflix, dropping every Sunday at 12:05.
Which is unbelievable, by the way, and I'm so glad.
It's unbelievable. No one can understand it. You're not going to see anything like Earth's Angels. I guarantee
it's way better.
You're right. Nothing that good. Exactly.
But we know, like, I will read, like, we'll have a like a opening monologue for something that I'm doing, and Boyd and Brad and I will have kind of written it, and then when I read it to Sarah, if she finds it totally unfunny, mm-hmm. then we know it's good.
Really?
She'll just be like, ugh. Once in a while, she'll laugh, and then we'll get worried.
You're concerned?
Because we're like, oh, no, she really liked it. What are we going to do?
Rewrite the whole thing, I guess.
And so, yeah, she's very tough critic, but...
Well, that's good. How early do you find that out in the relationship that's a good gauge for your comedy stylings?
Oh, 2 weeks? She was never... I've dated... before her, mm-hmm. I dated people that laughed at everything I said, which made me... uncomfortable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I would test it out. I would say something like, hey, do you love clarinets? And then just ha ha ha, yeah. And I thought, this is odd. It's not right. I feel like a weird Twilight Zone where you think you're in heaven, you're actually in hell, and they're like, everything you say is funny. This is what you always wanted to be, right? No one will take you seriously. Yeah. So then with her, she would if I get her, I get very happy. If I make her actually truly laugh, then it's great.
And what about your kids? They don't.
They rarely laugh at anything I do. I mean, really? I know this is the typical
Dad response.
The typical like comedian, like their family doesn't laugh at them. But it's true, and I like it because when I get them to laugh, if they're not laughing at the jokes, then I just tackle them and tickle them, and then they're laughing, works. And then they're like, "This is cheating."
What did you say? You have this bit about what your son said to one of the writers on your show at a Super Bowl party. About
oh right
does that happen a lot? You don't have to do the bit, but just those exchanges happen
all the time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Does that make you proud that there's a little snarky, comedic?
Yeah. No. I mean, I have this phrase at home when someone says, "Well, you're going to have to do this or this or something." Like if you have a choice about something, my joke is always like, "I can do whatever I want." It's not a great joke, but now the kids all say it.
It's no Earth Angels.
When you're like, can you go feed? Yeah, it's no Earth Angels. But it's like, I go feed the dogs and then be like, well, but that's when I was unemployed. Eddie would be like, why don't you feed them? You don't have a job. And I'm like, all right. And then.
Touché, child.
Right. But then he's like, Eddie, well, something like, Eddie, we're going, do you want to go to the movie? And he's like, it doesn't matter. I can do whatever I want. And I was like, oh, this is what's happened.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yes. And if I go, if I said, do you want to wear the white shirt or the blue shirt? And then he'll point to the white. If I said, do you want to wear the white shirt? He'll be like, racist. Which is how I, someone says white or something, I always just go, racism. Which is a throwback way back to Ricky Gervais in the first season of The Office where he was saying that all the time. Where he's like, racist. So yes, I've created monsters, and mm-hmm. I hope they stay out of prison.
Ricky Gervais, one of the other four people, Brad, with an accent.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he from this mythical island you guys talk about?
Narnia? He's from Narnia.
Everyone has the same accent?
Yeah, it's Colin Firth, Jason Statham.
Angela Lansbury.
Yeah, Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
Angela Lansbury. She's all American. It's weird.
Do you do a lot of things for their schools? Like, are you like the cool, funny dad that I bet you get asked to do? Like, will you host a talent show?
No, I used to, but there's lots of really. I mean, it's a private school. Thank you, I can afford it. But there are a lot. Like Tom Lennon is he's
a student there.
Yeah, he's a student. He's very behind. His son goes there, and he hosted the gala this year.
Oh,
and,
cool!
It was really funny.
Now is that
it was?
He's truly, like, he's remarkable. I wish I could show you a video.
Is there any...
It's very specific school jokes. You'd be like, right. I don't understand why they're...
But it's all for the parents.
Yes. Okay, yeah. I mean, he did put in this joke about they have this new green space at the school, and the school is right at Franklin and Highland, right in that church that has the AIDS ribbon on it. And as you know, it's every movie poster in the world is there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you bring your kids to school and in their playground, they can stare at the Purge poster, the entire, it's the size of a building. And then this most recent one he pointed out was the third 50 Shades of Grey movie that says, don't forget the climax.
Yeah.
And you know, your kids are all playing like, kids, don't forget that. And I don't know how you couldn't forget it since you're seeing it every 4 seconds. Yeah. So that was very funny.
Is it a thing that people, obviously parents are looking for things to improve the school and like make it better for their kids, but is that something that people have brought up that you've heard?
Is this how you think the parents talk?
Yeah.
Well, they're not from this mythical island of Colin Firth that you guys
keep talking about. This is a whole other parent voice that Adam has worked out.
Look, it's a character I'm workshopping on most podcasts.
There have been like
called Hollywood Parent.
Called Hollywood Parent.
There you go. I mean, I think on
his name's Gary Parent.
Right, he's great. But I think on the Purge poster there were complaints. Definitely, mm-hmm. I think there's been complaints about when it's ever too explicit. Which, when you think about it, when you're driving by there, like, oh, look at that man in a bloody apron with a Gatling gun mowing down people wearing masks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, my kids will be like, you want to see The Purge, Dad? And I'm like, it's working. It's going to work.
Oh, shit.
Now, you've also done a lot of acting and dramas. Like,
that's true.
And recently you were in The X-Files, which you did fantastic. Now,
It was small. But the 2 years ago was a little bit bigger, but it was, believe me, I would do one word. I would do anything to be on that show.
Is that just because you're a huge fan of that?
No.
No, just don't like it?
I just love going to Vancouver because they get codeine in their Tylenol. You just buy it over the counter. Yeah, no, I was a massive X-Files fan, and it's one of the things, before my wife and I were married, that was the show we watched together.
Oh, okay.
So then when Chris Carter made the offer, I did a Lucy sketch with my cell phone. When my agent was like, I don't know, is this something you feel like doing? And I was like, I'm already in Vancouver. During this phone call, I have flown to Vancouver and I'm waiting. I love the show and I really like Chris Carter and I really like Duchovny and Miss Gillian Anderson. And so I can't, like when I walked on stage, I was like, hey, Mulder, Scully, said your names out loud. I get very excited.
Did you guys like the clarinet?
Yeah, and I was asking about some specific clarinet, specific episodes. He's and Duchovny was like, "Oh, you're a fan, huh?" I'm like, "Yes,
that's why I'm here. I'm doing a fan. One line."
I didn't think this was some sort of. I didn't think this was the rebooting of Sliders with the terrific Jerry O'Connor.
Do you prefer drama or comedy, or do you just love working in both?
Great question. Like money. The immortal words of Dax Shepard.
Is dramatic money better than comedy money?
No, it's all the same. Well, I guess stand-up money is better than dramatic money. It depends on what's happening. But
do you enjoy the prep, like, versus... well, first of all, doing a show like the Joel McHale show with Joel McHale, streaming Netflix, Sundays, 12:05.
A.M.
Yeah, don't make that mistake.
By the way, I love that... how does that get decided on when it comes out?
No clue.
Okay.
They just told us, and we went, sounds good.
Yeah, okay.
We don't know why. I think it's because they release a lot of shows at 12:05 on Friday night.
Yeah.
And so they wait 24 hours to release the glorified weatherman comedy show.
I love it. Sunday at that time, it's a great time. I had a radio show at USC that was Sunday nights from 12 to 2 a.m. Got canceled after 6 weeks because I would not screen the calls that would come in and people would curse a lot. But I feel like that's a great time slot.
But did it do well when it was on?
Yeah. It was the only comedy show and that's why I did it. Because they only had radio station.
You went to USC?
Yeah.
Are you out of debt?
I just paid off my loans about a year ago. And I graduated in 05. Yeah.
In 05.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Sally May.
I had the financial aid and then a couple years of help and then a lot of loans, man. I can't imagine though going now. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't think people could imagine
me going back to school.
That would be a great Rodney Dangerfield callback. But no, I think at any, I mean, I remember when I went to college, people were like, can you believe what you have to pay?
Right.
I remember hearing, NYU is $40,000 a year. And that was back then. And they were like, that's how much it costs you to live in New York. And I was like, that seems impossible. Only kings and queens can do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now they're like, it's $100,000 a year. When you add it all up, or something like close to that, that seems ridiculous.
And you have kids. People do not. So is that why you like never say no to anything?
I take everything.
Yeah,
I look up. I'm here.
We don't pay Joel.
But this Danny Trejo coffee.
Do you want another one?
Another coffee?
Yeah, there's another one in there.
How many do you have?
Three.
Was Katie going to get that? Or is she going to continue with buying more Jaws movie paraphernalia?
She is wearing Thanks, a Jaws Daddy. Shirt, and the case on her phone is Jaws.
Please do not get the milk that's in the large jug, because that is spoiled, but continues to exist in the fridge.
Is there another one there?
Damn it. Why were you trying to poison people?
Well, I mean, it would make you stay longer.
I like this About Last Night poster you got here.
I guess there's not
you guys
coffee.
Look pissed. Oh, thanks a lot.
Sorry.
He's got Joel.
Order one.
Wow.
Got Joel's hopes up.
From Danny Trejo's Donut, Coffee and Donuts?
First time I ordered from it, yeah.
The coffee was good.
Pretty good, right?
Did you get it at the corner of Santa Monica and La Brea?
I think that's where it comes from.
Yeah. Or Highland?
Yeah.
You drove all the way down?
No, I postmated it.
Boom.
He's doing very well.
Yeah. You can afford that extra. I mean, look at all your movie posters around.
Thanks, man.
Now,
this stays up all the time.
Yeah.
What an egomaniac.
Trust me. Trust me. There are times when I lock eyes with Brad in compromising situations. I should not be
where
looking
at
Brad.
Where you're on your well-placed Stairmaster over there. So you can just look at
look,
over.
We all So I can look at the old Russian man swimming laps at 8 a.m.
Do you ever swim out there?
That's a personal question. I'd like to move on. Yeah, in the summertime.
What about, is there a jacuzzi?
No. And trust me, that has been a complaint of mine since I moved in.
Mm.
Where's the jacuzzi? Can't have pool toys in there either.
Why? Because of the hazard, the danger?
I guess. There's no lifeguard.
I dare you to try it.
Oh, I have. Even when they've, even when my
they have said,
Polish landlord said, no pool toy. I'm not good at accents. No pool toys in the pool. And I go,
no pool toys in the pool.
Yeah. And, yeah. And I said, what? Come on. And my buddies were down from Seattle. We bought these pool chairs from Target. We had some beers. They were like, man, we are loving life on vacation, away from our families. And then she comes up, no pool toys in the pool. And I was like, well, come on. Like, we're not going to drown. And she goes, you can't do it. I go, what would you tell kids with pool toys? No pool toys in the pool. I go, great. So I put them up on my little patio there. And then I get a text from her saying, the owner of the building was here and saw your pool toys and said, if you can't have them in the pool, why are they on the patio? To which I said, they're therapy chairs. And then no text back.
Therapy chairs for yeah. some sort of physical ailment?
Sure. Dude, that's
So they were even like, I see your pool toys. They're not in the pool, but we see them.
Yeah.
So what's going on?
Yeah. Do you have a pool in your
it's
apartment?
It's like saying
that
we don't have any pot, but yeah. you have these huge bongs out. Well, what are they for?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Water fights.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. Can you have a squirt gun in the pool?
I mean, I ain't looking to find out. There's one sign out there that says no diarrhea in the pool.
Yeah,
that really I don't think you need a sign.
Don't need it.
I think that I think that should
I think
be
in this day and age. It's an assumed.
Yeah.
She didn't say that though. No toys. No diarrhea. Only solid chunks.
Only number one.
Very.
Hey, how many people recognize you from Almost Live down here?
Very few.
Really?
Zero, almost.
Really?
It's, oh, yeah, I mean, I guess 18 years ago, maybe it happened once or twice.
I know you did theater at University of Washington.
Thank you.
But,
yes,
yeah.
I did.
Mm-hmm. What was your favorite play that you did there? Or musical? Or monologue?
Boy. Oh, it's all over. I don't know. There was a show called Polaroid Stories I enjoyed very
yeah,
much.
Nice.
Good
program at UW, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was very good then. I think it's still pretty good.
Yeah.
I always love Shakespeare stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I always love that stuff. And people go, oh, well, look at you, Mr. Snooty.
It does make you seem, like smarter and more.
It seems like that.
Yeah.
No, I endlessly liked reading it. And and doing it.
You ever think about trying to go to London and like perform it at like the Globe Theater? Or
well, there since there's only two people with the accents, and they pretty much get all the roles.
You guys tell me four, but I don't believe.
Yeah,
it. Yeah.
I believe if in some other world or life, I would love to do it. But
you should figure that out. I bet they.
Maybe I'll do. Maybe I'll do this week's Joel McHale show. Joel McHale. Sunday, 12:05, and iamic pentameter. Maybe that. I'll just do it in rhyming verse. Just watch the viewership.
I think it'd be a fantastic episode.
Yeah.
You hold a skull the whole time.
Yeah, it'll be a stock market after they announce the sanctions.
How much of Almost Live prepped you for when you moved to? And for people who don't know, who didn't grow up in Seattle, it was the greatest thing in where we live. Because
is there
was,
any? If people are,
we have a lot of listeners in Seattle.
You do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he's from there, so, you know, he gets...
Hello, Yelm!
Awesome. awesome.
Hello, Index.
No one's ever said that.
Really? No one's ever said hello, Yelm? No. Hump Tulips.
Wow. Did you go to the Puyallup Fair?
Auburn. When you lived there? Yeah. When I kept growing up in Catholic school, they had a special day where they would just take you down there and they were like, go for it.
That's
it was
awesome.
Great.
Yeah.
It was so, I loved it.
Puyallup Fair, just think of any giant fair. But it's, I mean, kind of famous in the country because, I mean, I saw Hootie and the Blowfish there.
Yeah.
When they were big.
Well, that's not necessarily something you want to brag about, but congrats.
Yeah, they were there.
Especially, you know, you being a Seattle kid, being like, there's so many bands to choose from.
I saw Pearl Jam there, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure. Nobody believes you.
All right, it was Third Eye Blind.
Okay, great. Do, do, do.
Yep.
Do, do, do,
yep.
Do.
When it was popular.
Now you have to pay for that.
Yeah.
That was just a random
thanks,
tooting.
I thought this was going to be for free. Now I have to buy a damn song.
See? That's good. It's only 35 grand.
You have to pay Stephen Jenkins.
I loved that Puyallup Fair because, well, it's as people don't know this, as young people don't know, but there used to be regional fairs everywhere when they would bring in, when it would be the harvest time, when everyone was having a great time. And now it's just turned into
meth.
You know, a meth, meth roller coaster.
Fuck city. Yeah.
Yeah, I loved it. I still have a Duran Duran mirror from there.
Oh, my God.
You could win a Duran Duran.
That you won from what game? Tossing the ring on the bottle.
No,
cap?
It was one of those guys had to guess my weight. And he was, I remember the guess my weight, and I was like, that could probably get. He's like, guess my birthday. I was like, you'll never guess that. Time for a Duran Duran mirror.
I love that you kept it.
Oh yeah, that's good. And then I remember, there was hats you could win that had a Rambo. patch on it.
Fair prize
for the headband.
Yes, this is when Rambo came out.
Sure.
There are some young people going like, what is he talking about? But the patch would always lift off, like the patch wasn't well put on, and below that patch it said MASH. When MASH was popular.
You had a MASH patch?
Yeah. So no, well it was the Rambo patch, MASH was printed on it.
But, yeah.
Is there a guy whose job it is to collect fair prizes?
Or
make them?
Yes. There's there's a thriving... I mean, if you go to like Dave and Buster's...
Yes. Or Funplex. Remember that in Seattle?
Oh, yeah. Seattle Funplex.
I still have a laminated photo of Magic Johnson and Montel Jordan thumbs upping together like E.T. style. Like they're touching their thumbs.
At the Funplex?
Yeah, man. It was behind the wall. It was like, do you want a boombox for 90,000 tickets?
Joel just made a face like, why didn't you lead with that
right when I sat down? They had made an appearance there, which I would say was, that's impossible.
They cut the ribbon at the opening of
Funplex. Yeah, they would. I remember when it closed, I was like, oh.
Yeah, no, it was Kendall Gill and Steve Poole. Those are the celebrities that opened Funplex.
They could probably get Sean Kemp to do it now.
Love Kemp.
Yes. How's he doing?
Good. I saw him. I did this podcast with Rappaport at the Triple Door, and Kemp was on it. It was great.
How big is he?
Huge.
He's
not fat wise,
but I met him.
He slendered down.
Oh, he's back down.
Yeah.
Okay.
He even was talking about trying to maybe play and said he was playing, and I was like, I mean, I don't know. I hope that happens.
I mean, it would be great.
In his big three league,
his knees will explode.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think at this point,
you can't. No, I mean, it's hard to. I mean,
did he ever come on Almost Live? I know Rick Riz did, and Niehaus did, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Was that unbelievable?
That was pretty good. And they were very funny in the sketch.
Yeah.
You Seattle folks, you'll...
But they know, two of the greatest commentators of all time.
Yeah. Wait, and so Niehaus died how many years ago?
Like three or four. Yeah.
Can you find any Almost Live stuff on YouTube?
I think Almost Live still plays on King every Saturday.
Really?
If go on King 5's schedule.
Holiday season is upon us, and a lot of you out there...
This is John Keister.
This must be fascinating.
For that special someone. So here... with a few gift ideas, is Joel McHale.
Oh.
Thank you, John.
What do you have for us?
I'll tell Tyler about this.
Barbie is the most popular doll in the world.
Barbie, not
it's
Harvey.
It's being updated every year, and there are several exciting new models this year, including...
I was so nervous.
U-District Barbie.
Ah. U-District is like Silver Lake. It's like the hipster part of town.
No, U-District is rough.
Back then?
Okay. Oh, U-District was no fun, and it continues to have problems, I hear.
Now, it comes with tattoos. A defiant attitude and 10 piercings.
10 piercings?
Oh, I didn't screw that up.
You know, Joel, I only count 7 here, actually.
You're going to have to trust me on this one, Jonathan.
Hey. Oh, that worked. Okay. All right. Now I'm always constantly judging myself. It's great.
Our beautiful Christmas carols. Why not give them this fabulous CD? It's a Kent Christmas.
Kent is the...
Kent would be the... it would be considered the white trash part of town back then.
Magical, yeah, that's a good way to put it, Joel. So you're super nervous for that.
Oh, well, because I'm super dyslexic. Let's see, dyslexic. So I'm trying to think. Done. If I can find Almost Live on the schedule. There's the 11 p.m. news, but then it doesn't give you the 12 a.m. There it is. It is. It is on at 12 a.m.
And are these repeats or are these brand new casts?
No, it's been off the air for 18 years.
Okay, I don't. Not from the area. Grew up rooting for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, so I'm not familiar.
No, you grew up rooting for the California Angels, and then they changed the name of the team twice.
Go Wally Joyner.
No, they still run it. They obviously don't pay any of us. But what was great about Almost Live for me is that they took me under their wing, and John Keister and Bill Stainton and Nancy Guppy and Pat Cashman and Tracy, they, all of them took me, and Steve Wilson. Tracy Conway, and they all took. I became like their mascot, and because I was an intern, and they I contributed in writing, and they were very, and so they hired me, which was I became the luckiest person on the planet at that point.
Was that the goal when you were working there? You were like, eventually, hopefully, I can be funny enough in office situations and pitch ideas that maybe they'll
hire me.
Yeah,
I thought, oh, I didn't think they were going to offer me a job, but I thought if I can get some sketch stuff out of this, maybe that will help. And then it allowed me to screw up on live or close to live television. And I got all my, and I'm still nervous when I, you know, was doing anything live, but it really was this great place to screw up for a long time. And they didn't, and they were very nice about it. So then I got here. And I was like, I've been on this show, and no one really knew what it was.
But yeah, so, I mean, that experience, right, it's invaluable because you just being on set and shooting that much,
all
and
that
just getting comfortable and building confidence. And also, the show was a big hit. Like,
it was huge.
You're famous in Seattle, right?
I mean, like, I don't know about now. I mean, we're all old now. But
I mean, like, how it is for you now, like, how can you equate the fame, like, at that time? Because,
say it was.
For me, watching in high school, it was like, and I've told you this before, like, to see people that you know aren't, you know, famous in Beirut, but like are huge in where you are and doing really funny shit and knowing it's a big deal, like that makes you go, oh, cool, like that it's inspiring and makes you feel like you can, it's not Shannon Cringan, you know what I'm saying, on public access.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, come on, man.
Whatever happened to her?
I don't know, but you and
you
Brooks,
have no idea we're talking.
Shannon
no
Cringan, idea. Let me, for the viewers, public access, everybody knows what that is.
There was a
sounds
time.
Like, sounds like a disease.
But
close
there was
to
a
shingles.
Time there was no rules on public access.
Yes.
And you could show anything.
And Brody Stevens and Tana, I don't remember his, right? Remember Tana and Brody? They had a show.
Jeez, no. No, okay. I mean, I didn't watch a ton of it, but I remember hearing about her.
Almost Live was notches up from.
But Shannon
Cringan. You guys actually did, it's so funny. You and Brooks Macbeth did this sketch where it was two white guys acting super hardcore, like thugs, and they're in their basement, and then the mom keeps calling in. And on the front of it, it was a public access show, but on the opening sequence, it said, like, you just watched Shannon Cringan, and coming up next is these guys.
That's right.
She was a
Performance artist
who would
be nude.
She would paint herself.
She would paint herself. It was.
Might have been the first boobs I saw.
Yeah. I wonder if she's alive. That's always.
Literally were no rules then.
There were no rules.
Wow.
And there was always people going like, you can't show this. And they're like, it's public access. We can do whatever we want.
Wow.
But that Almost Live footage of me ultimately helped me get my first commercial agent.
Really? To then move down here?
To move down here. They still didn't. But as I learned very quickly, if people don't know that you've ever done anything, they don't care. Agents will barely acknowledge you as a human being, let alone meet with you. But then I had this tape from that show, and I had no other credits and at all, zero. I had done a small turn on The Fugitive with the CBS's Fugitive, short-lived.
The TV show, not the movie.
With Tim, what's his name, from Diner. Really good. Tim Daly, very nice man. But there was nothing. And then the guy was, the agent said after taking a weekend, I was like, so what'd you think? He was like, well, it's not a hell no. So, so we'll sign you. And that's how, so I, you know, even though I worked very hard on Almost, just when you get here, nobody really cares unless unless you're doing currently doing something.
Wow. And then what were your first gigs that you got?
Here?
Yeah.
Well, how was the move, first of all? Like, that was you and, I mean, wife and kids already?
No kids back then. We bought them later. no, we...
That's a big move, right? Just to come down here for anybody.
Yeah, it was either New York or here.
Yeah.
And eventually, I was kind of like, we shouldn't go to New York because all I really want to try right now is movies and TV. I mean, but then that's not a really great argument because people break out of there too. But they eventually all move here.
Yeah.
And then they all complain about not living in New York. And then 25 years later, I'm like, you should just move back to New York because you now live here forever.
People telling you not to, like, dude, oh, you're fucking Almost Famous.
No, because I quit Almost Live pretty much to go to graduate school.
Gotcha.
So I could become an actor. And
where?
At the University of Washington.
Nice.
So that's where I did all that Shakespeare
gotcha.
And stuff like that. And so.
Do people know that you're classically trained like this?
I don't know if it's classical, but I'm trained. it wasn't classical Shakespeare training.
Right.
We learned this kind of Japanese form of acting, and Shakespeare was incorporated all throughout it. I don't really know.
But you went to grad school.
For 3 years. Yeah. 3 years. Yeah.
And then Ashton Kutcher didn't do that.
No, but he has way more money and is much more successful. And the ranch was picked up for like another season. So we're just hoping to get out of our first year. My poor wife, I told her when we were about to get married, I was like, you must agree to move to another city because I'm not going to stay in
Good
Seattle.
Good for you. Yeah, you have to do that, right?
And she was like, all right. And then I said, give me 5 years to try.
Down here?
Yeah, I was like, give me 5 years to get established. If it doesn't work out, I will go back to... I will happily go or unhappily go back to Seattle and try to get another internship on a radio program. So that was kind of the deal. And then I started booking commercials. My poor wife, I told her when we were about to get married, I was like, you must agree to move to another city because I'm not going to stay in
Good
Seattle.
Good for you. Yeah, you have to do that, right?
And she was like, all right. And then I said, give me 5 years.
Down here.
Yeah, I was like, if you give me 5 years to get established, if it doesn't work out, I will go back to, unhappily go back to Seattle and try to get another internship on a radio program. So that was kind of the deal. And then I started booking commercials.
Were your parents supportive for the whole thing, or were they telling you to stay in Seattle?
Were they together?
Oh, no, my parents, they were together. They kept telling me all these crazy stories about Adam's parents. And they're like, did you hear about Adam's parents? Let me guess, Dad, they're back together. No, they're remarried to each other. I was like, okay, can we stop all that? So I dragged her down here and said, give me 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I had you hustle to get an agent. Everyone thinks if I can just get an agent.
Yes.
And then you realize,
that's the first
they're not
step
as
many.
They're not as, they can do a few things, but you really have to do it yourself.
Yeah.
Sounds like a horrible insult to all agents because there are many of them that are very effective. Mm-hmm. But there is no agent that it goes like, I've got the guy. He's going to be the new Han Solo. It's because I signed with him last week, and now I can put him in that spot. It doesn't happen.
So how did you create your own hustle? What did you do to create your own opportunities? And
when I was very lucky in that I had a very guy named Sandy Smolin, who is married to Pamela Reed, who is one of the best actors you will ever see. And if you look her up right now, you go, oh, her. Yeah, she's been in 1,000 things.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he was a television director, and he would always take pity on me and go, do you want to be this on this guest star? He's like, I'm doing this Diagnosis Murder. You want to be on that? And I'm like, of course. I will do anything. So he put me in a bunch of stuff. And then I got very lucky. And I booked a small guest star on. Do you recognize Pamela?
Yep. Oh yeah, Kindergarten Cop.
There you go. But she's got like Drama Desk Awards.
Yeah, I mean,
Awards.
Yeah, she's worked on everything.
She's right now. She's like queen of Seattle theater because she moved back up there.
Fuck yeah!
Because she's from there, and so she does stuff at the Rep and at the Act, and she's
also a cool life, by the way, to kill in Seattle theater.
I remember seeing her act, and I was like, oh, crap, that's how good the actors are down there.
I have to be Japanese Shakespeare.
Yeah, I have to be really good to be. And then I realized she's exceptional on a level that is hard to ever get near.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, good, I can be a... I'm you know, quarter there, so we're fine. But I got very lucky and lied to get onto Will and Grace. The audition was for people that were over 6'7", and I'm 6'4", and so I went out and bought some heeled boots.
Can you give me the store that has these heeled boots?
The Skechers Outlet store in Van Nuys.
I might need them. I got a trip to Six Flags coming up.
You'll be fine.
You say that. There's four coasters I can't get on. I have a season pass.
Well, I still have the boots.
All right.
No, I got rid of the
boots. Can you carry them in a baby Bjorn into the park?
I don't think there's a rule against babies in boots in a Bjorn, which is one of my favorite songs. I got on that show with no agent. And
you still have the boots?
No. Yeah. No. I burned those long ago.
But you straight up hustled. I mean, like, you,
I lied to get into that audition. Yeah. I just stood up very straight. And then, strangely, now I have become friends. I now know Eric McCormick and Sean
he was on
Hayes,
the show.
And I've known
Joel
them
McHale
for years now, and they were always really cool. And so, but I got an agent out of that. And then that agent dropped me a year later, saying that I was not famous enough to be in
on
his
designing
agency.
Women. Oh.
He was like, if you come back in 4 years after you've been established, then you might be big enough to be in our agents.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense because, go get more famous, then you'll drop whatever agent you have and come back to me.
Yes,
no, fuck
but
you.
It's a weird mentality. It's this weird catch 22. They only want the thing that they didn't find. And, so that was not demoralizing. And then I was with AKA. Commercials, which I had been with, and I started, and I thought, well, I literally thought to myself, I will be the greatest commercial actor of all time. And I couldn't get parts or auditions for anything else. Mm-hmm. So then, I just started doing commercials. This woman from E started bringing me in for different things. And then the soup audition was just one of like 12 auditions I had done at E for different shows.
Hosting jobs,
made it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, so people, you were getting, I mean, were people, you were doing acting auditions, but how many of those were host?
Zero. Things? Most were zero. I mean, that was.
So you weren't even thinking about doing
hosts. Never. And so that was just happened to be. And then they said like, oh, this might be a Talk Soup reboot, but we're not calling it that. We don't know what it is.
Calling it The Soup, completely different.
Yeah. Well, it was first called the What the Awards, and then the new president came in and changed it to The Soup.
Oh, geez.
This is ancient history.
Did you remember crushing the audition? Like, how did you get to a point? Were you at a point where you're like walking in and you're like, all right, walk out, like on to the next one? Like,
that was how it was.
Into a rhythm, right? Of just like trying to forget about it as soon as you.
Well, they said, here's some clips and come up with some jokes. And so that's what I did. But I didn't walk out of there high-fiving the air, going like, boom, looking forward to it. It took 6 months because it wasn't, and that wasn't because E was doing a worldwide search. It was because just things were moving slowly and it wasn't a huge priority. And then they brought me back a month later, and then I did it again. And then they were like, then I had a meeting where they said, well, how would you think this show should go? And we kind of threw around our ideas, and then we put together a 5-minute pilot presentation, which was me on a green screen with like four clips, and that was the whole pilot, as opposed to, you know, Community that took 2 weeks.
Right.
And then they picked it up. Then they said, oh, and how much does it cost? Nothing? Great. We'll put it on. And they put it on Friday nights at 10, which at that point, in the strange landscape of television before streaming services, was a ghost. It was just nobody there.
Everyone's
out.
It was
a graveyard. And then that's where it's that, which was great because I realized, I was like, oh, that was the best place for us to be because.
Sure, because if you were going up against
Seinfeld.
There was
zero expectations. Yeah. As opposed to, like, I was on that CBS show last year and they put us on after the Big Bang Theory. And I thought, well, in success, I will be buying a Maserati dealership.
Yeah.
And in most likely failure, I will be available because almost every show has failed after, you know, every show they hoping is going to be the next Big Bang has not worked. But I guess Young Sheldon is working well.
Well, that and in that
I know
that scenario,
I don't know if people know what I'm talking about.
Indoors was funny.
Yeah. Thank you.
It was. And you were great in it. Yeah.
Well, you have your the cast, I will say, was extraordinarily
good. It was.
And you have Stephen Fry, who is an international treasure.
You're also great with multicam, and you should be on it again.
Well, they canceled it, so I stepped onto the 9 JKL set, and Mark Thorstein, he chop-locked me and was able to drag me out of the set, because that was where our old sets would be.
At what point in the soup did you guys know, like, from the internet or from people telling, that somebody come in like, I've got the numbers, you guys are the... That's another character I do with Gary
Like
Parent.
A kid who's got a newspaper. Yeah. Read all about it.
Hey, I've got...
We would get...
The soup is the bee's knees.
We would see the ratings, and we would see the thing before us have no ratings, and then we would have good ratings relatively to that time, and then the ratings would get bad again. And then they started putting this us after us, so it would just be an hour of the same thing sometimes. And I thought, oh, well, that's a good sign. And then, like, Julia Roberts told a reporter, she was like, hey, just so you know, I watch The Soup every week, and no, I will never appear. She said like that in the same sentence. I was like, Julia Roberts is watching?
Holy shit.
And then other people would walk up to, like, in weird situations where I was like at a Golden Globes party and odd celebrities would come up and be Cameron Diaz was like, watch a show every week. I was like, what? And I don't think she remembers now, but but it would be little things like that. And then it would be odd things where companies would want to start sending me stuff for free. They'd be like, they like to send you shoes. I'm like, okay.
Like cool companies.
Yeah.
Not like Keds. Like it'd be like Reebok.
You mean Keds, the coolest company that's ever been for shoes? Because how fucking dare you?
Is that really?
Keds are great.
They were good. They were great. I wore them.
Keds? I think possibly the sexiest shoe in high school.
You're right.
Junior high, I'd be like, there's the Keds. They're not wearing socks. I can see, you know, the back of their calves and then the Catholic school uniform.
You're right. They were
super hot. Anyway, so I don't know, but just stuff.
Things like that would happen.
One of the ways that I knew it was going well because I started getting auditions for the shows I could never get auditions for, like for pilots. No one would you can audition for these two lines for this one pilot, and then all of a sudden it was, would you consider reading for the lead of this pilot? And I was like, oh. Well, that's all different now.
Mm-hmm.
And
you walk in the room with more confidence because of that, or are you more pressure to like crush because you're like, oh shit, now I'm getting these opportunities to just go?
More, definitely more pressure because I am a maniac and in a constant state of panic and anxiety and OCD where I'm like, this will probably be the last job I'll ever get.
Is that why you started doing stand up? Because you realized you were a maniac and you'd fit right in?
Yes, and the money. No, I love performing, so I crave it. It's an affliction, really.
It is.
Yes, because you want it all the time.
That's why I started doing stand-up, was because doing so much theater, I was like, I need that live fix still.
Where were you doing theater?
I mean, all in Seattle at high school and then USC. Okay. And then afterwards, a couple plays. And then I was like, I don't want to do plays anymore because it's... such a big commitment, and I'm tired of crying in front of 15 people at a small theater in Santa Monica.
And now you'd like to...
I'm going to cry on stage during my act. Yeah.
I'd like to watch that. Yeah, so and I do it at... It also is a great insurance policy for many different reasons, not obviously financially it helps, but it also, I feel like it keeps me younger and out of trouble and not sitting around just playing Call of Duty.
Oh, you do?
I played Call of Duty last night till 1, and that hasn't happened months.
Like, that's awesome.
Last summer, I got in bed. I was like, "You are a degenerate."
Are you the guy that gets on the headset and talks crap to people online?
I don't talk crap. I try to bring people together.
Through first person shooter.
Now, I just shot you in the head, but that doesn't mean your life is over. You can do great things.
No, I'll be like, hey, Shamrock Eddie, 441, make sure you got some Germans coming up behind you. Right now, I'm playing the campaign just because I wanted to see
the one player,
pretty game they have. And I have it on pretty hard, and I was stuck in one place for an hour last night, and I just had to turn off the TV because it was one. My family had been in bed for 3 hours.
You realize you had a very important podcast today?
Yeah. I was nervous. And I was like, I was wondering if he's going to have the Heat poster up, which he does.
Hey, man, I also, this could be the last thing I do. So
this podcast.
Yeah.
Before the Polish. Landlord, these are not therapy chairs.
No podcast, no pool chairs.
I will stab you right here. Stab your inflatable chairs.
Were you more nervous to do this podcast or to meet Eric Bana? And had you met Eric Bana before? And by the way, let's just say the guests that you're getting to do bits on the Joel McHale Show with Joel McHale are fucking great.
They're good.
Kevin Hart, Drew Barrymore, Eric Bana.
Yeah. Adam Devine, friend.
Yeah. Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell. She's been very nice.
Mm-hmm. That Eric Bana bit was brilliant. And to me, was one of those things where I was like, oh, this can go viral and become an actual business that somebody makes up.
Well, there was like, I'm not joking, over 100,000 demands for those Eric Bana banana bandanas. So on top of that, they're like, how many do we have? Mm-hmm. They're like, we have 9. And I was like, how much do they cost? And they're like, $9 a piece.
eBay.
And I went, so that's the end of the show because this is, now we've just bought a few thousand or something on a discount.
Good.
And we're going to give some away. But wait till you see the Russell Wilson bit this week.
What?
Yeah. So he came on and we're making fun of Frank Thomas's Nugenics commercials.
Wait a minute. I just saw that. Maybe it was last night and was just like, is he the only athlete that is doing
a supplement commercial?
Yes.
No, I mean, or like, sex like pills. That. It's very odd. Wonderfully.
I was surprised, but I was like, but also it's like, I don't know Frank Thomas, so why am I surprised?
Yeah, like Frank,
he could have always been doing this, just no ad company wanted to back him. He could have been stepping up to the plate being like, I love taking dick pills. And everyone's like, what? He's like, someday this will pay off.
Is that how he talks?
No, that's my Angela Lansbury. But Frank Thomas.
Okay.
Oh, hello.
There it is.
I played for the White Sox.
That's good, Frank Thomas.
Thank you so much.
No, those commercials are very odd.
That's huge for me. It's a disadvantage.
Wait, you make fun of that commercial with Russ?
Yes. He plays Frank Thomas.
Oh my God!
So does he just randomly walk up to strange women?
You'll see.
Who is go that like, Frank hey. Thomas?
No,
is that
Frank strange Thomas? Women walk up to him in the actual commercial.
The commercial's
like,
unbelievable because he's leaning, he's posing on a machine, right? And he's just like waiting for people to recognize
and
him.
And they say it over and over where they go, Frank, you look great. And he goes, I am feeling stronger and leaner, which is a strange thing to say.
And then goes,
how long have you been doing this, Frank Thomas?
Yeah.
Well, I got this eugenics pill, and I think you should give it to your husband. You'll be glad.
Yeah.
Doesn't he make some sort of baseball sex pun? Doesn't he do that?
It's weird.
He's like, you'll be stepping up to the plate and ready to swing at any pitch.
Your husband will be hitting home runs.
Your dick and a vagina. okay. Yeah, but with Russell, you'll see that.
How did that happen?
The world begins to fall apart because we're all taking too many supplements.
Oh, my God. Is he like a funny athlete? He seems like he's game for whatever.
He was game for whatever. It was great. He reviewed the bit, and it was like, great.
How did that even happen? Because he's got
to
be...
We reached out to him.
Awesome.
Now, is that kind of like where you're in a situation where you almost get to be in charge of your own fantasy camp, where you're just like, I would like Russell Wilson to be on my show?
Oh, I have made requests for people that I would love to be on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to get Joan Cusack on the show because I've been a fan of Joan Cusack for my entire
life. For real?
Yes.
That's a great call.
Love it.
What's your favorite Joan Cusack moment or movie?
I mean, there's...
Yeah, there's too many.
I mean, she won the Oscar for Working Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that, guys?
Yes. Good movie.
She was really funny in Gross Point Blank.
Yep.
As she played and she burned the office down. I mean, there's nothing she's done that I was, you're ever, I mean, it's good for everything. She's like Allison Janney that way. Mm-hmm. And in that she just, every time she steps on screen, you're like, I feel good. I'm going to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be fun. So it would be great to get her. Anybody from Monty Python I'll have on.
Yeah. Sure. Big comedy influence for you?
No.
Just to be great.
Huge. Comedy influence for me. Yes, I would love to get like Eddie Murphy on. It'd be great if he would come on. I don't think he will.
You reach out though, right? Didn't you?
Yeah,
you try.
Yeah,
why not?
Yeah, I was like, get Taylor Swift again. See what happens. You know, and also, but we're like, Gabriel Iglesias is coming on.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So because he is possibly the most popular comedian in the world right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy.
How many Staples Center shows?
He did two, which is just madness. I'm doing the K-Rock April Foolishness show with him on Saturday. He's doing his set at 8:00, hard out at 8:25. He rushes to a plane, flies to Vegas, and then does Vegas at 10:00.
He did that a couple years ago.
Yeah.
He's
doing it again.
Jesus. But who's going on after him?
Jeff Garlin.
He's going on early. Yeah.
Well, that'll be okay.
Yeah.
Jeff will be able to obviously hold his own. But
yeah, he's a crazy amount of energy and like.
Well, and he's adored. So, yeah. We're also having this guy named Gad who's French.
He has a Netflix special.
Yeah. He's got. Say it.
Gad
Frencho man.
His last name is like LM.
LMU.
Yeah.
Loyola Marymount University.
Named after a college.
He's coming on, and we know that he's this massive star that he can't walk down the streets of Paris without people running up to him and bursting out crying. So,
Holy shit.
Yeah. And we always kind of go, yes, it's great to have a celebrity, but we need celebrities that can deliver.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we want the bits to be funny. I think Bill Nye is going to come on.
That's going to be a little bit of a reunion. Didn't you do an episode of Bill Nye the Science Guy?
Well, he was on Almost Live in Seattle.
Really?
That's where he got his start.
Wow. I did not know that.
So I've known him since 19... Boy. It's like 94 was when I first met him.
Wow.
Probably one of the smartest dudes walking the planet, yeah?
He is not dumb.
Yeah.
He will never be accused of that.
Controversial statement from Joel.
He's really smart, but he does the thing... He has the rare gift of being able to make everything seem understandable.
Mm-hmm.
So he can take huge bunches of pretty difficult information to break down, and he can make it pretty simple.
Yeah,
need. That's how Stephen Fry is. He can Yeah, he'll tell you, he'll look at this cup and tell you exactly how this plastic came to be and what it's doing right now and when it will break down and why they designed it the way it did. And then he will go into the chemical structure of the plastic.
Jeez.
And then you'll go, you need to stop.
Are you intimidated by being around people that much smarter than you?
No, you want as many smart people around you as possible because
it
protects you from the dumb people.
I guess it's better than the alternative.
I make sure all my friends are smarter than me.
Mm.
That's why I'm not friends with you guys.
Makes sense. It's actually a good move on your part.
See.
When you did the White House Correspondents' Dinner, did you make sure you had writers that had been with you for a while?
It was the head writers of the Joel McHale Show with Joel McHale, dropping Sunday mornings at 12:05 a.m. Might as well be Saturday night. And K.P. Anderson, who was the head writer of The Soup forever.
Yep.
And now he's the executive producer. So that was kind of the cabal. And then we took joke submissions.
And then
who?
From all
Frank
sorts
Thomas?
Of, yeah, Frank Thomas. Nomar Garcia-Para.
Fred McGriff.
Fred McGriff
Wade
was there.
Wade Boggs.
Crime Dogs got great jokes. Yeah. Everyone knows that.
Gaylord Perry.
Mm-hmm. Old, 80s baseball stars.
Yeah, lot.
Surprisingly great with political humor. Who'd you really take submissions from?
There was a bunch of writers that we took them from.
And then how terrifying
And a couple
is
of them,
that?
A lot of them were soup writers.
Yeah.
Some were a, there was a Conan writer who contributed. But ultimately, I mean, it really just came down to us, me and those three guys doing it, me performing it over and over to them and tweaking it. Because we had the set pretty much set over a week in advance. We really narrowed it. I mean, we were writing for months, but we narrowed it down and we're just making it to the point where we were kind of like, everybody's going to have a Game of Thrones joke. Everyone's going to have Orange is the New Black joke.
Mm-hmm.
And so we knew Obama was going to probably do that just because they were popular shows.
Yes.
And a Malaysian airline joke about that, because that was the year the airline, that plane.
It disappeared.
Oh, shit.
Disappeared, but it was more about how the coverage was crazy, and it was the only thing anyone talked about. So I sat there and listened to Obama and then would rip jokes out and throw them away, because I was like, all right, Orange, he got that one. He did the Game of Thrones joke at the Malaysian airline. And so I kept my Malaysian airline. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you also want to write in a week in advance, have everything set so you can have a base in case something does happen like that week that you can like add in?
For
the
new show?
No, for the set. So when you're like having your
the
set.
White House
set
response.
Oh, for that. Yeah. So, I thought you meant the other sets. We just watched the news every day to see if anything would change. We wanted to have something incredibly fresh that day, but nothing really came up. So the theme was that, I mean, the ending theme, we wanted to kind of have a rapid fire jokes of that America is doing so well. The things that we get upset about are not as bad as what other countries get upset about. like in Afghanistan, mm-hmm. we said something like, you know, in America we get worried that someone's going to spoil a Game of Thrones episode. Whereas Afghanistan, you'd be like, oh, did you hear about what's his name? He got hit by a drone. Spoiler alert. And you're like, don't tell me who the drone killed in the village that day. And Obama didn't like that one. But our whole thing was like, let's make fun of everybody. Let's not choose a side. Let's just go after everybody's. Mm-hmm.
How was your overall experience there, like meeting Obama?
Oh, it was just crazy. It was great. I loved it. I got to have dinner with the first lady. I sat next to her the whole time.
What'd you talk about?
We talked a lot about pop culture, but we talked about we just shot the shit.
Easy to talk to, yeah.
Was great. And Obama, he was really nice. He is incredibly competitive. So he wanted to win that joke thing. And that's why he was so good at it.
That's awesome.
There has never been a president as funny as him. In modern day, I don't know. Clinton kind of threw out a bit. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, George Bush was
unintentionally
blindsided by Colbert. Now probably the most famous one. But it was ultimately the most fun thing I've done in it was super fun.
Just because of the whole leading up to it and the dinner. Yeah.
I've done, being on Community was one of the most fun things I ever did. But that was sort of lasered, very concentrated time where the pressure was. I've never been nervous since. Mm-hmm. So I think the only time I'll be more nervous is if a plane is going down, or I don't know, I get wrapped around a tree in my car and fuel's leaking out, and then there's a, I don't know, I don't know what would make me more nervous.
And then Brad jumps out of it and goes, hey, my house.
Right.
So
don't take out my tree, Joe.
This is my tree. My bar mitzvah tree. It's a callback. Anyway.
Five more minutes? Yeah.
Five more minutes. Cool. Yeah, but I got to get
Why was Community up there?
For
obvious reasons, obviously, being on a hit show following The Office seems like the fucking dream with a killer cast.
We knew the scripts were fantastic. I mean, each script we got from Dan, not the fourth season where Dan was gone, but each script was dynamite. And the hours were always insane because we were making a movie every week. But I knew every day when I was like, it's so difficult to get this level of writing every week.
Yeah.
I was like, this will be, if this ever happens to me again, it will be lightning striking twice in the same spot on Brad's tree.
Yeah.
And so I was, thank you, God, every day for these great scripts. Yes, there was insanity on set sometimes, but every job situation is going to have issues.
Yeah, sure. With that many people working together in high stress situations.
Yeah. But we were pulling off something that was trying very hard to make something different, and I think it happened.
And have that many characters and have it that evenly spaced out, like with dialogue and joke, it was, I haven't seen a show do that since, really.
It was really, believe me, I would, Dan was the best writer. I mean, for making a show like that, it's the best writer I've ever worked with.
Yeah, and the proof is just looking at what that cast has done since. Like, pretty much everyone has gone on between Donald and Allison and yourself. Like, everyone's moving on to doing
everyone's
even
working.
More amazing things.
Everyone is working, and thank God. Donald's, though, his career is bombed.
Does he take your text anymore?
He'll take every ninth text.
So the ninth one's
usually
be good.
It's an emergency text. Yeah. I'll be like, 911, Donald, come help me. I'm trapped in the LA River, and then he'll usually show up to help. And I'd be like, no, I've got a script I'd like to pitch you.
Thank you so much for doing this, by the way.
Thank you. How long did we do?
About hour 15.
Which is about what, average?
Yeah, yeah. We usually an hour. I mean, we do 2 hours with you if you didn't have to make a hit show.
That's
too long, by the way.
That's too long. Yeah, and
people
get bored. I gotta make sure I'm not in trouble.
You good?
Okay.
Can we end with a
song? All right, ladies.
You don't have to sing. I'm going to ask you just some rapid fire questions you can just respond to.
I didn't realize what a high class production this is.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Do you have the rights to this song?
It's
karaoke version.
It can go for 15 more seconds and then we have to pay for it.
And rapid fire questions. All right. This is what everyone looks forward to in the podcast.
Absolutely.
Mark Maron. Mark Maron does a lot of rapid fire.
Yeah.
Mark Maron was here and parked in a
handicap.
Close. A driveway.
Got his car towed.
Yeah.
He must have not been happy.
And we got to see authentic angry Maron.
That's bad.
Yeah.
What was he doing parking in the driveway?
He's you know.
All right.
Favorite sports stadium.
Pass.
Ellen or Oprah.
Ellen or Oprah?
Yeah.
Safeco Field.
Boobs or boobies?
Boobs.
Handshake or high five? Come on.
Handshake.
Even though you were a part of the high five and white guys?
Yeah. No, I retired that hand.
All right.
I hate fist bumping.
You do?
I hate it.
Why?
This is dumb.
It seems like something Carson Daly would do.
Why bring Carson Daly into this? He's a very nice man.
He is, and he made a lot of things popular through TRL. And I feel like the fist bump was one of them.
I feel like this is just a theory that you're making up.
Can I have Carson Daly's number?
Yes.
Beanie or hat?
Beanie or hat. Depends on the weather.
All right. You don't have to be a dick about it. Fly or drive?
I can if I want.
Fly or drive?
Fly or drive?
Yeah.
Ooh. Driven to the airport.
Oh, he's classy.
I like that.
Yeah.
Onto the air, you know, right onto the tarmac. This is great.
Chicken or steak?
Rapid fire steak. But chicken, don't overcook chicken, which everybody does. That's when it gets ruined.
Is that a dig at Wolfgang Puck?
No.
All right. That was the next
question. A dig at your mom's cooking, which will be happening tonight for their wedding reception. I'm so happy they're back.
That
together.
Was the last question. Are they getting back together?
There you go.
Thanksgiving or Christmas?
Christmas.
Griffey or Russell Wilson?
Russell Wilson, only because he's playing right now.
Yeah.
And we need him desperately.
We do. On the Joel McHale show.
Griffey, though, he really needs to be a play-by-play guy because he is remarkably funny.
He is? That's good to know. Would you rather fight a kangaroo or a bear?
I'd hire someone to fight both of them.
That's a great answer. Clarissa Explains It All or Hannah Montana?
I don't know what the first thing was, so Hannah Montana.
Hey, it was basically a Nickelodeon or Disney question.
Oh, well, neither.
Yeah.
I'm too old.
Great. Good answer. Favorite thing your kids said in the last year?
What up, bitch?
That works.
And advice for young comics?
You like stand-up comics?
Mm-hmm.
Or, keep at it. Don't wear sport coats on stage.
That's actually sound advice.
Yeah, don't wear sport coats. And
you're
just
making it weird. Are you at an office?
At an office?
Wearing a sport coat?
No.
Yeah.
No, but don't go on stage with a sport coat.
Great.
But you, young comics, just do it. You got to do it like 6,000 times before you know you're good or not. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. It's a 10,000 hours theory.
Yeah. Is that a theory?
Yeah. That once you do something for 10,000 hours, then you're good at it.
Or
you suck. Or
super failure.
Yeah. Really
I've heard
bad.
The Frank Thomas theory, which is 10,000 pills.
Right. And then stronger and leaner.
Thanks, Joel.
And your dick's great.
Thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
Every Sunday, Joel McHale.
This is a perfect ending because I have to urinate.
Bye.
Right here.
No.
Oh, it feels so good. Such relief.
Great.
But you, young comics, just do it. You got to do it like 6,000 times before you know you're good or not. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. It's a 10,000 hours theory.
Yeah. Is that a theory?
Yeah. That once you do something for 10,000 hours, then you're good at it.
Or
you suck.
Super failure.
Yeah.
I've heard the Frank Thomas theory, which is 10,000 pills.
Right. And then stronger and leaner.
Thanks, Joel.
And your dick's great.
Thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
Every Sunday, Joel McHale.
This is a perfect ending because I have to urinate.
Bye.
Right here.
No.
Oh, it feels so good. Such relief.
Slow down. Oh.